I'm reading today from John chapter 1, verse 29 to 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by and exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them, they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated as anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated to Peter. This is the gospel of Christ.
Christ our Lord. It was in 1954 that Roger Bannister did something that the world thought was impossible. He crossed a boundary that people thought was not possible to cross, and that was to run the mile in under 4 minutes, and he did it, 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds, so a sixth of a second. But he did it and showed that it could be done. Since then, some 2,000 people have run under 4 minutes. The record by El Garouge is now 3 minutes 43 seconds. So it's come down a lot. Jakob Ingebrigtsen, that many enjoy watching on TV, he broke the 4-minute barrier when he was just 16 years old. 16, that was, I think, back in 2017. And he was the youngest person until last year, a New Zealander, at the age of 15, went under 4 minutes. The reason why I start there is because there's a gospel principle. It demonstrates what is also a gospel principle, and a principle for us as humans. And that is, when a boundary is crossed, we see it is possible, and then it makes it possible for others to believe that it can be done. What once thought was impossible and unrealistic becomes possible and realistic. When we look at Jesus, we see in his life the invasion of possibility, if I can put it that way. Possibility where things were thought to be impossible. His mission makes a way. He makes a way for us to follow and experience things that were previously thought impossible. His ministry summons us to something new. Hold on to that as we continue in this message and reflection today. So that wild man out in the Jordanian wilderness, John the Baptizer, who in the silence of the desert heard God reveal God's self and God's intentions in such a remarkable way. When he meets Jesus, he says these words, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's his declaration. That's his proclamation about Jesus. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's where I want to stay for the most part in the sermon today. That's such a precious statement. That's such a vital statement. And it's something so much for us to appreciate. I think when you hear that, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, what comes to your mind, what is often familiar for us in that phrase, is that Jesus, this Lamb, reference to a lamb is sacrificial. He sacrifices his life in the crucifixion, and in that we receive the forgiveness of sins. And there is truth there in what you're thinking when that comes to mind. But ponder with me a moment and realize that if Jesus has come that the sins of the world may be forgiven, and that he needs to keep offering that forgiveness because sin keeps happening, then one is not really talking about the sin of the world being taken away. One is talking then about forgiveness of sin. One is talking then about the pardoning of sin. But one's not talking about the taking away of sin. To put it this way, whenever one thinks of Jesus as the Lamb of God, one's understanding it to be an expansion of the Jesus is this eternal Passover lamb. Now, the Passover lamb was the lamb that was slaughtered, the blood put on the doorposts, and then the executing angel passed over, and the people in that house were safe. They were protected. But John doesn't say, look, here is the Lamb of God who passes over the sin of the world. You know, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Doesn't just rescue us, but actually takes away the sin of the world. How does Jesus do that? How does he actually save us from sin? How does he take away the sin of the world? And that's what I want to explore. And as I explore this, I think you will sense a relevance for you. And I also believe that it will give you hope that there will come a time when there will be no sin. And we're going to reflect on how we're going to get to that time. And so a big part of what I'm doing today is trying to give hope about sin, our own sin, and the systemic sin that we see in the world around us. Because sin isn't just something personal, it's something systemic. It's a pattern in the world that sustains itself, and one talks about the vicious cycles that keep people oppressed and poor particularly, and keep our environment exploited through these patterns of sin. How is Jesus going to take that sin of the world away? You and I share a context with those who first read these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those who first heard these Gospels proclaimed to them. We share a context, and what we share is the benefit, as it were, of hindsight. As the person is telling this Gospel, as we are reading this Gospel, we know where it goes. We know it goes to the crucifixion. And from that place of knowing about the crucifixion, we hear and read the opening parts, because we're just in chapter 1 of this particular gospel now. We hear the opening parts in the light of we know where it's going. And in these opening parts, many things are said, glorious things about Jesus. Just in the passage today, Jesus is proclaimed by John as the Son of God. He's proclaimed by Andrew as the Messiah, the hope of the world. He's proclaimed by John as one who pre-existed, the eternally existing one. These glorious things are said of Jesus. He's proclaimed by John as the one who will give the Spirit, who bears the Spirit and gives the Spirit of life to the world, the Spirit of transformation for the world. And then when we are encountering this beginning, knowing where it ends, we say to ourselves, what have we done? We, as humans, because we have to take responsibility for what humans did then. The religious leaders then, the political leaders then, the systems then, took this, which was the greatest gift to the world, the Messiah, the Son of God, the bearer of the Spirit, and we tortured him to death. And so we are exposed. We say to ourselves, how could we have done this? We are exposed. And we see what happens when society hits rock bottom, because I would want to say that that is rock bottom. Of the cruelty of the world to have done this to the real light of the world who's come to us. That's rock bottom. And we need to face and be exposed to that rock bottom place. Because it is for us, as it is also for alcoholics, that you cannot be transformed until you've hit rock bottom and acknowledged your need for God. And so this position that we're in, of aware of what we as humans have done to this great gift of God, is for us an awareness. It wakes us up. It exposes us and then wakes us up to our need for God. And just as it is for a person in Alcoholics Anonymous doing the 12 steps, that's their starting point. That's the turning point. And for you and I, if we are to be rid of sin, we need that starting point also. We need to face fully the consequences of sin and our involvement with sin and our toleration of sin. We need that. That's our first step. If Jesus is to take away the sin of the world, we need to see fully and accept fully what sin does and has done and will keep doing. For those of you who were here last week, you will know I had a move in my sermon last week called The Gentleness. Gentleness is the way of God. Exactly the same title for that move, because we were being given in the Jesus event new metaphors for Jesus. And last week it was the dove, and the dove is mentioned again today. But today there is this focus on the lamb. Also, such a gentle metaphor for God. And a lamb is, it almost feels like it goes further, because it is preyed upon. It is vulnerable. It is gentle. It needs protection. And this is being given to us as a picture of God. And Jesus will live out that kind of kind, gentle life and ministry. And so we are hearing that this is God's way. And what is being introduced to us to save the world from sin, to take away the sin of the world, is the way of gentleness in the world, the way of non-domination, the way of non-violence. And you and I will often say to ourselves, non-violence can't save us. And we will say, you just need to tell them what to do and they must do it and force your will on them if there is to be an end to conflict, and so on. We will think it's too idealistic. It is unreasonable to think of non-violent, gentle ways in this world. But Jesus has shown us it is realistic. It is possible. And like what Roger Bannister did for elite athletes, so Jesus does for the world. He shows a different way. And you and I, as people of faith, need to say, that's our way. That is the way sin is going to be taken away. Sin is not going to be taken away by more domination, more violence. Sin is going to be taken away by the gentle way of love that invites, attracts to God's kingdom. And so Jesus has opened up through his ministry as a Lamb of God. He's opened up a possibility for us all. At the beginning of this week, in my study, I did some work around the grammar here and what kind of word this was that John the Baptizer uses to say, take away. I looked at this word, take away. And I'm not going to take us into the technicality of it now, but it's a present active participle. And that turns out to be important because it's present active. It's not that Jesus took away the sin of the world. It's that Jesus is taking away the sin of the world. It's not that Jesus, it's not future tense that he will take away the sin of the world. He's taking away the sin of the world. It's something he has started and continues to be doing. So when you hear this, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You hear that this is his way in the world. This is what he's busy with now today. And within that participle, there's something invitational. There's an awareness that we must participate. We must join this if it is to happen. And so it's no surprise that when John has said this, in a way he's said it, and those who hear that there's something participative, that Jesus is taking away the sin of the world and we need to join him in this. It's no surprise really then that two of John's disciples leave him and start following Jesus, because they're now here. You know, John is pointing out this is the one to follow. It's no surprise then that in the very passage following this, Jesus starts to call disciples of his own. So the participation, the following, you and I are called to follow. How is Jesus going to take away the sin of the world? Through a growing movement of followers of the Jesus way. Now, all of this is underlined in incredible ways in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the place where you will most see reference to the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. In fact, I think like 90% of all the phrases in the New Testament about Jesus as the Lamb of God are found in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 14, for example, where it's spoken of again, we are told who are the faithful few. They're numbered, 144,000. Don't take the number in a literal way, it's symbolic. But the point is, who are they? We're told who they are. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever it goes. That's why they're so important, because these are the ones through whom Jesus will save the world. These are the ones through whom sin will be taken away from the world. These are the ones who will grow this turning tide that Jesus has made possible. Not only that, we're told they are the ones who have their name written in the book of life of the Lamb. Not only that, we are told that these who follow the Lamb wherever they go are the ones who sing the new song. So that's where we've got to be. You and I need to follow this Lamb. And in so doing, he's confident. And John the Baptist proclaims that confidence, that this is how the sin of the world will be taken away. So I want two brief takeaways for you, just to distill two brief takeaways. The first is have hope. Have hope. God is in Jesus and his Spirit taking away the sin of the world. Don't despair at the news. Know that God is busy. Have hope. Have hope. Secondly, know your part. And I must know my part. We have a part to play. That's clear. Practice service in a world that practices domination. Practice forgiveness in a world that believes in revenge and retribution. Practice gentleness in a world that believes in domination and violence. This week I've spent some time with an alcoholic who's been sober for over 30 years, Jonathan, and he actually runs our AA program here at Trinity on Thursdays. And he was talking about how he helps the transformation of new people who come. And as they engage with him, they realize, if he can do it, so can I. And that's the core dynamic I'm wanting us to be in touch with. Whenever you're going through something, say a cancer journey, and you sit and you talk with somebody who's bravely faced it and gone through the journey, you say to yourself, if she can do it, so can I. Jesus has shown us a very particular way in this world that will save this world. And we are invited to say and know, if he can do it, so can I. Know the part that you need to play. In Jesus' name, amen.